Hallelujah. God is good. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And while you're turning there, just a reminder that next week, Sunday morning, Monday evening, and Tuesday evening, Kim Ware will be here. She's excited. She's got a word for us. I know it. And we're believing God for that. I'm already drawing in the Spirit from that. You know, I'm just believing God that she's got a right now word for the church, and she's going to give it to us individually. God's going to speak through her. So just make sure that you marked your calendars and it'll be away, you know, ready for that. And the other thing I want to just announce today, Mike and I were talking earlier. Did you know that because we're doing live stream, Renita's got some friends in Oklahoma that watch us all the time, and there's people kind of all over the place that are tuning in. It's just amazing. We get, you know, 100 and so many odd hits every time we come on live like this. And so what a blessing that is. And there are some people who are incapacitated or they're in a place where they don't really feel like they can get out because of their health situations, but yet they can come hear the word. And so that's awesome. But and what we've got has been working. It's awesome, but we want to upgrade. We want to get it so that it's better quality, better. And what we're looking at is a budget of about $3,500 to upgrade to what we want. That's not that much, right? But we need to believe God for it, okay? And he will bring it. It is coming to pass. We're asking for it. He's going to do it, and we're excited about it. Glory to God. So if you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, what I want to talk to you tonight about is about moving in the Holy Spirit, or moving with the Holy Spirit, or having the Holy Spirit in your daily life, right? We've talked a little bit about this, and even Sunday we're talking about making God your hiding place, but it's so important that we understand when we go out to minister the word or talk to people, and really ministry, sometimes that word takes on a different scenario. But really that what that means is that when we're out serving people, right? When we're out serving people, when we're out humbling ourselves and just allowing God to use us, we need the Holy Spirit right in the middle of it, right? So look at this in verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." What is the testimony of God? It's the gospel. The whole thing from Genesis to Revelation is about Jesus and about Jesus redeeming mankind to himself, right? So I didn't come telling you that with my own noodle or my own thoughts. I came in a different way, and this is how he came. He says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Isn't that something? Isn't that something? He didn't need to have the next and latest greatest revelation on what to bring to them. He didn't have to say, "Well, you know, last year I came and I preached on Jesus crucified, so this year I've got to come up something fresh." There isn't anything more fresh than Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now watch, because this is really cool. "I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And you think about that. Well, this is the Apostle Paul, and obviously he was anointed. He was an apostle after all. Well, the reality is he was a believer. And if believers are supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the same scenario should be of us, right? I'm not coming on my own. I'm not coming with my own words. I'm not limited by my small mind where my presenting the gospel is concerned, because the Holy Spirit inside of me will give me gifts to ensure that the gospel is demonstrated to people. Come on. Is that for today or is that just back then and we don't really need it today? I'm telling you, we need it more today than ever. And especially in our country. Why? Because people are too smart for their own goods. You know, they got to intellectualize and I've got to understand this in my mind and I've got to rationalize it all out. And the reality is you can't touch God with your mind alone. It has to be spirit to spirit. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. But like anything with God, we have to have faith that first of all, is for me and that I can grow in it. And what do I need to do or how do I continually stay active in the ministry of the Holy Spirit through me? You know, we call the Acts of the Apostles, right? After the Gospels, there's the book of Acts. That's called the book of the Acts of the Apostles. But I think it could be better translated or named the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. Right? Come on, it's so good. Look at verse 4. It says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In other words, I came to prove that God is real. I came to prove, not with just an argument, not with just wisdom of my own making, but I came with power. We ought to have a reputation that people can come to us for prayer and things are going to happen. Right? Why? Because other people have seen results. And I really believe that we're in the last days. I just can't imagine that things can get any crazier in the world, right? I just can't, you know. And so in the last days, there's going to be an outpouring of the Spirit of God. The question is, are we going to be a part of it or not? And you say, well, that's up to God. Not everything's up to God. You know, you have to be a part and make a choice to be a part of what God's doing. I mean, it's God's will that all men would be saved. Isn't that true? Doesn't the Bible say that? It's His will that every creature and man, woman, child that has ever lived would be saved, but not all chose that. So yes, we believe in the sovereignty of God, but we also marry that with the will of man. So for us to be involved with the outpouring of the Spirit to bring souls into the kingdom and to take the devil's stranglehold off of people, we have to believe and begin to act on the Holy Spirit and what He's doing on the inside of us. Look at this. It says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, but the rulers of this age who have coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, the devil doesn't know what the Holy Spirit's up to. Did you know that the devil's not all-knowing? Oftentimes, the devil doesn't know your business unless you open your mouth. And then he's right engaged. But if we can begin to activate the Holy Spirit and live out of the Holy Spirit and begin to revolutionize our life into becoming not just, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost in 1979, you know, or whatever, 77, and yeah, I got it back then, bless God. That's, well, okay, you were filled back then, but are you still being filled? Are you still filling yourself up? Is your tank empty? Are you on a quarter tank? Or are you actively pursuing the Holy Spirit's direction in your life? And we're going to talk about how that operates and how we can get off. So look at it in verse 12. No, I can't do that. Let's go back to verse 9. I'm going to take the time. As written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. God has prepared some things for you. God's prepared some things for me. God has from eternity past said, I know Bruce Dugan. And I've got some things prepared for him. Some of it's hidden, and a mystery here is something that was unknown is now revealed. So our cooperation with the Holy Spirit, I believe, is the only way to get our God-given purpose and to see that come to pass. Glory to God. Many people who feel like, I'm called to the ministry because my dad was called to the ministry, or my uncle, or somebody prophesied over me. And the reality is, it has to be your relationship with the Holy Spirit that the call comes out of, because that's where the purpose of God could be known. So good, how do I do that? Well, we'll talk a little more about that. But watch in verse 10, it says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. The mysteries were revealed to Paul and the rest of the apostles by His Spirit. So things that are hidden in you and for you for this time and for this hour are going to be revealed to you as you operate in the Spirit. Or with the Spirit. I like that better. In cooperation with what the Spirit is saying and what the Spirit is doing in your life. Come on, that's really good. God, you know, I got saved because I found out that God would speak to you. And God speaks to me. I'm not saying I hear this booming voice, but I get impressions in my spirit, and I bear it out, and it comes to pass. It's really, truly, truly amazing. Look at this. But God, verse 10, has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. I mean, somebody will say a statement like this, well, nobody can know God. Nobody. Well, the reality is that we have the Spirit of God inside of us who wants to reveal God to us. And somebody said, well, will we learn in heaven? Well, yeah, because there's more of God than we could ever touch or taste or feel, right? And there's more. You think, man, I got God down to a science. I've been studying this for all these years. And like my mentor said to us, he said, the more I know, the less I know. Because the more revelation I get, there's more out there. There's more out there. And I think that's going to go on for eternity. But we, as Christians, have access to the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said was going to be our teacher and would even teach us about things to come. I don't know what I'm going to do about tomorrow. Well, how's your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Because part of His ministry is to tell you. But He can't tell you if you're not listening. He can't tell you if you're not putting yourself in a position to hear. Right? I know you all want to hear because you're here on a Tuesday night. Right? And God wants to have you in the know. Glory to God. Look at this verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. You know, God wants to give us things freely. Freely. Think about this for just a minute. Now, in the world, if you went to a bar, I know this from experience, and a guy got a little hammered, all of a sudden, his wallet was a lot freer. Oh, I'll buy the next round. I'll, you know, and he goes home and his paycheck is gone. He can't figure out why. It's because he freely gave away what was in his wallet. Well, now, I'm not saying God's a drunk. Don't get me wrong. But here's what I'm saying is that God's Spirit is one that freely wants to give it out. Do we have any takers in the house? Right? Do we have any takers? God, if you're freely going to give it, I want it. I want more of it. I want more of it. Well, and so I think that that's available, but you got to, first of all, have your faith built up that that's even a possibility for me. Because if you think, well, you know, pastor, he's anointed, and prophet so-and-so, they're anointed, and obviously that one's anointed, and they have a special call in their life. They do, but so do you. And God's not a respecter of persons. What He'll do for one, He'll do for the other, but all of them must be gained by having faith in the grace that he's given to us freely all things. Does that make sense? Come on, that's so good. So what am I saying? I say, I can have it. I want it. I'm going for it. I'm going for it. Tonight, I'm going for it. Lord, if there's more, if I can hear better, I'm going for it. So show me how. And he will. He will. Verse 13. These things that we also speak, not in words which man wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, it's our spirits that were born again that now have the access to be in spiritual connection with the Spirit of God who will reveal things to us. I'm not saying that we leave our brain out of things because God operates through our thoughts and our thoughts are in our brains, right? But the reality is there's a dimension that we can go to that we can bypass all of the thoughts and get focused in on the thoughts that are coming from him. Come on. Does anybody want that? Do we want to do that? Right? Yeah, I want that. I definitely want that. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. They cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things. Now let me ask you a question. Are you spiritual? Why are you spiritual? How did you get spiritual? We were dead in our spirits before Christ. But the moment that we received Jesus as our personal Savior, his Spirit became alive in us. And I'm no longer a dead man that was outside of God, but I'm now a man that's alive in God because I'm identified with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Come on, that's so good. And so I have the potential to access the Spirit of God. And again, we're going to talk about why that's so important. Is it so that I can walk around and go, I'm holy, right? I got, you don't, but I do. I got it. The Holy Spirit talks to me. Deal with it, right? That's not the purpose at all. And come on. For look at this. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know, when people say you never know what God's going to do, I say, well, I understand what you're saying, and I understand where you're coming from, but I have the mind of Christ, and I may not have the answer right now, but if I seek him, I'll get it. If I ask him for wisdom, I'm going to get it. Why? Because he promised that to me. I'm not saying that I'm anything special, but what I'm saying is that I'm making a faith withdrawal upon the grace that God has given me. And so you may not be able to get it because your faith isn't there, but my faith is to access what God has promised. Come on. So it's like, I want me some of that. I want more of that. I've heard people talking about that they feel like that we're on the edge of a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, like we've never has been before. Well, I need to get myself in line with that so that I can be a part of that. I mean, things are happening. I'm sure you guys saw it on YouTube and whatever, but the fellow that saw, Sean Fuchs or whatever, however you say his last name, but they shut down in California, and so they couldn't worship in California, so he went to the beach. And thousands of people came to the beach. We said, well, if it happened here, let's go where the riots are. So last Saturday night in Portland, they had an outpouring of the Spirit in the waterfront park in Portland. You didn't see that on the mainstream news, but thousands of people were there. The estimates were anywhere from 3,000 to 7,000 people. Over 100 people got saved. Come on. By a man who says, I'm just going to go up in the park. And then he came Sunday night to Seattle. Did you know that? That he was in Seattle? The worship the king was in come on. And so if it's him, why just him? Well, because he's a special worship leader. No, he's a man filled with the Spirit of God that God spoke to do something. He did it. And here's the results. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Because these same things are true. And I know some of these things you've heard before and before. But what I'm trying to do tonight is to activate you into beginning to cultivate your relationship with the Holy Spirit so that He can use you and me to affect others. Amen. Come on, affect others. I was talking with a pastor today. We went to breakfast. And he said, you know, I've noticed that the gifts of the Spirit are not operating for me as much in the church as they are outside of the church. And he talked about work, you know, operating in a gift of knowledge, which we'll talk about in just a minute. But he said, you know, I'm in a restaurant and God will give me a word for the waitress. I'm in, you know, and he told of one story where he was in there and he told the waitress what God had told him. And all of a sudden she's just bawling. How did you know that? Bawling, crying. He said, because God's concerned about you and what you're going through. See, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just we come to our little meeting, have the gifts of the Spirit in operation, then go home and nothing happens. It's time for that to stop and for us to go. Because look at Acts chapter 1. Verse 5 says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they come together, they ask him, Lord, saying, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put into his own authority, but you shall receive power. Everybody say power. You shall receive power. Who shall receive power? Everybody that was listening right then, and everybody that this promise pertains to, and that's, I believe, all believers. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Do we still need that power to be a witness? Yes. And the witness is that God is backing up our words with signs and wonders following, so people can't argue with our arguments when they see the demonstration of the power of God. So, and again, I'm not trying to work anything up. I'm not trying to make something happen. But actually, I want to activate and begin to get us excited again about the Holy Spirit moving in our midst. And the gifts of the Spirit, which are the manifestations of the Spirit, we begin to expect and begin to look for. Right? It's like, okay, how does this work? How does this work? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want us to be excited. I want us to have an expectation of something happening. And sometimes you got to kickstart it and you got to go out there by faith doing something even when you may not be seeing the results. Todd White talks about how that, you know, God put on his heart to go pray for people in the stores, pray for people everywhere he went. And he'd go out with his wife thought he was crazy. And he'd take his daughter out with him and they'd be praying all over. Well, for a long period of time, nothing happened. But he knew God told him. So he just kept doing it. Because you see, obedience is up to us. The results are up to God. Right? I can't go lay hands on somebody and get them healed because I touch them. But if the Holy Spirit is in me doing the work, I can be available to be used by Him. Amen. And we ought to have that expectation. Now, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians in verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you're Gentiles, you're carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. See, these are manifestations of the Spirit of God. What does that mean? This is how it looks when the Holy Spirit shows up. This is how it looks when the Holy Spirit... What should we look for in a move of God, in the gifts of the Spirit and be in operation? What we're about to read. But I need you to really focus on this next verse. And those three comparisons there, what that means is the Holy Spirit will use different people in different ways. But it's the same Spirit. Right? In other words, my gifting might be different than your gifting. And even if we operate in a similar gift, we might be operating it in a different way. Because we're all individuals. Right? Now watch this. This is so wonderful. Verse 7 said, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one to profit with all." The Holy Spirit is manifest to each one. Each one of us should have an expectation that the Holy Spirit wants to use me. But it's not for me to get a big head, it's for everyone to prosper. Paul said, "I didn't come to you with the, you know, excellency of speech, but Christ and Him crucified." That the glory of God might be manifest to you. So think about that when you're out doing your thing, be out with family, whatever. It's like, Holy Spirit, I'm available for you to use me in such a way that your power is demonstrated so that they can see you through me. Is that awesome? Isn't that awesome? And I'm telling you, it's available to us, but we have to believe it. And we have to begin to act on it. Right? Believing without action is not really belief. It's mental assent. But when you believe it, and therefore you act on what you believe, that's when it begins to work. Right? And so I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to trust God that He is going to start to use us in a supernatural way. And not just me, not just Kim Ware who's coming next week, but all of us. Why? Because I, unlike the Spirit of God, can't be everywhere at once. But just think about those of us that are in this room and those that are watching. Think about this for a minute. If we thought about the Holy Spirit using each one of us tomorrow, look at the amount of people that could be touched. And again, what's it all for? It's for the presentation of the gospel. So that people can see that Jesus is Lord and that God loves them and that they can be one to the kingdom of God. Now watch. In verse 8 it says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But the one and self-same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." So there again, the Holy Spirit divides these out to each one as the Holy Spirit wills, but also our wills involved with that. Now let me just say, because I was praying about this today, and one of the things that I've been asking for is like, Lord, I need more discernment. I need the not just discernment from a natural standpoint, but I need to know by the Spirit what's really going on in the Spirit. And I'm asking for that. And so my thought before is that, okay, Lord, somebody will come up for prayer and I'll have to have this vision, right? Or this manifestation, this wild manifestation. And He said to me that you'll operate in that gift the same way that you operate in the word of knowledge. And God will give me a word of knowledge every once in a while. What is that? Well, that's simply somebody will come up to me, and as I'm going to pray for them, there's a thought that will come to my mind from my heart. And when that thought comes, I'll know something. I've told this story many times, but it bears repeating, because sometimes you have to act on it, even if it seems foolish. A lady came up, she was right before me, and it was time to pray for her, and I got this impression, not a vision, not, you know, I saw something, but this impression in my heart, and it came up as a matter of thought, that she used to preach to chickens. Now, you know, why would you say something like that to somebody? Right? But watch this. The Spirit of God wanted to not validate, but encourage the person that I was praying for that it was really Him speaking to her. And I said, I get this impression, and you know, if it's not you, that's okay. I mean, you know, but if it doesn't fit, that's cool. But I get this impression that you've preached to chickens when you were real young because you felt the anointing of God on you. And God wants you to know that anointing hasn't left you, that God still wants to use you even though many years have passed. And then later she told me the story of how she'd go with her mom. They lived in South Tacoma, and she had an upstairs loft thing, and they had chickens, and they used to take the chickens up there, line them up, get her Bible out, and preach to them. How did I know that? It was the gift of the word of knowledge. We were, not many years ago, we were in a restaurant, and the waitress came up, and I just had this impression on the inside of me. And so I said to her, this is a nice restaurant, it was an outside deck type of affair. I said, excuse me, but the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to me that He wants you to know that He misses you at church. That you used to be involved with church, but you haven't been going for a while. And your involvement was, and God wants you to know that He misses your presence in His house. She just started bawling. I haven't been to church for a while because this happened and this happened, but I'm headed back. Right? Why? It's not about me, but it was a demonstration. Now, I didn't get any feelings. I didn't have any goosebumps. I had nothing like that. It was just a thought that came to me that I had to act on. Some of us are waiting for this spectacular movement for the Holy Spirit to use us, when in reality, oftentimes it's just a nudge to go talk to that person, or just go pray for that person, or just, you know, whatever it is. And when we step out and do that, one of these manifestations has the ability to be worked. So the Lord speaking to me about discernment is that just go to that same source rather than looking for the big manifestations, but just begin to ask me on the inside. And when I bring something to you, act on it. It's not difficult. Right? But it's necessary. Okay, so these are the things that the Holy Spirit wants to move in us, right? But look at verse 31. Verse 31 of chapter 12. And before he was talking about not everybody does the same thing, and not everybody, not all the gifts operate in the same way, but verse 31, earnestly desire the best gifts, yet I show you a more excellent way. And he goes into talking about love. But he gives us the idea that we're supposed to earnestly desire the best gift. And many times I went around going, what's the best gift? Is the best gift prophecy? Is the best gift the faith? Is the best gift miracles? This is just simply what I came to the conclusion of. The best gift is the one that's needed at the time. But not for me, but for the person that I'm ministering to. That the Holy Spirit, whatever the person needs, I'm desiring that gift because I want them to see God in the situation. So it's not wrong to desire to be used by God in a supernatural way, but we've been lied to that I can't because I'm not special. But you're redeemed. And you've been brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You're a child of the Most High God. It's not about you, but it's about your availability to be used by God to touch other people with the gospel, with a demonstration of the power of God through you. So cool. So cool. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Because there's something that we've been given, especially in Acts chapter 2. It said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I'm not going to go into a big detailed list or teaching on tongues, but there's a supernatural gift of tongues that's been used in many different places. It was used in Acts chapter 2. It said they went out in the streets and were, you know, praying in tongues and just drunk in the Holy Ghost, basically. And people who were from all over the world heard them speaking in their own language. And I could tell you testimonies from people who've God, well, I'll give you one. There was a lady, I think it was a lady, she was in a hotel room in Cairo or someplace. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go speak in tongues to this really nice dressed lady over in the corner. You know, come on, what? You want me to do what? You want me to just go speak in tongues? Okay. She went over there and she began to speak in the Spirit. You can't make this happen, right? You can't, well, I'm going to practice this. I'm going to do this one. No, it's got to be the Spirit of God speaking to you, and you've got to be available to obey that voice that's on the inside. But she went, she began to speak to her in tongues. And this lady just began to tear up and tears coming down her face. And she said, you don't understand. You're speaking in my native tongue that's only spoke in a specific region in Egypt, and no outsiders know the language. But you just presented the gospel to me in my... right? Well, yeah, that's because that lady was special. No, it's because that lady was a believer who was available for the Holy Spirit to use. Right? Okay, chapter 14. Verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, I believe that this word prophecy here is not talking about you being a prophet. What this is really referring to is that you are desiring to speak a word from God to somebody else. It's divinely inspired speech, right? But watch what it goes on to say. For he, verse 2, who speaks in a tongue, does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, the Spirit, he speaks mystery. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, comfort to men. But he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So when we operate in our prayer language in our bedrooms, in our cars, what we're doing is we're building our batteries up on the inside. And sometimes you may not feel a thing, but the more you speak in tongues, the more you're activating or charging your battery so that when the battery is needed, the power will be there. I can't tell you, the more that I speak in the Spirit, it seems like the more revelation comes. And the more the gifts of the Spirit operate in me. Somebody said that the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the speaking of tongues is the doorway into the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not certain that that's true, but I know from my own personal standpoint, the more time I spend praying in the Spirit, the easier it is for the Lord to speak to me to operate in these things. But oftentimes I do it and then I feel it. It's I do it and then when it's needed, it's activated. Right? Again, verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I like this analogy, and I use it all the time. When you speak in an unknown tongue, it's like your car battery. You have your car battery, and there's an alternator in your car. And what that alternator is doing is always putting a charge back into your battery. And if the alternator goes out, and you go to go start your car, your bike, or whatever, click, 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 right? And so our speaking in tongues is that alternator that allows ourselves to stay charged up so that when we go out and put the ignition key in and turn it over or push the button, however you start your car nowadays, you know, that the charge is there to be used when the demand is made. So speaking much in the Spirit gives access to what I'm talking about tonight. Sometimes, and people don't understand, that even prayer in the Spirit, sometimes it feels like, man, what good did that do? I don't know, but it did a lot of good. Sometimes I don't know what good it did, but it did a lot of good. Go to Romans chapter 8. Y'all getting anything tonight? So I want to encourage you, and even over the next few weeks, especially for Kim coming, pray in the Spirit a lot about the meetings. Pray, Lord, I want to get everything out of it, and I don't know exactly what I need, but you do. And I want to pray. I want to pray for that. I want to pray for that, God. So I'm going to begin to pray in the Spirit. Look at Romans chapter 8. And verse 27, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There's a thing about praying in the Spirit where the Spirit of God will pray things for you and through you that you don't even know you need. But we have His power to do that. And also, I'm not going to get into that. There's a place in the Spirit, it hasn't happened often to me, but it has happened, to where you almost get labor pains birthing something in. I've told the story again, but I think it bears repeating. Years ago, I was praying for my friend's dad who was having an operation. He had an aneurysm that exploded in his head or whatever. They had to do an operation. This was way back when they first started doing them. It's pretty routine now. It wasn't then. Anytime you drilled into the skull, it was a life or death situation. But I began to pray for him. Of course, I prayed in English, everything that I knew. And then I spent about 45 minutes in the Spirit. But the first 20, 30 minutes, it was just, but about 30 minutes in, something deeper rose up on the inside of me. And there was a groaning that started to come out of me, and there was just a power and intensity to it. But as soon as that broke, I knew I had the answer. But here's what's interesting. While I was praying that way, at the very I started to get a headache right here. Right here. Now you say, well, why did you get a headache if you were with God? The next day or after the operation, I was talking with his son, who is my friend. He said, well, yeah, man, the operation went great. The doctors just are so thrilled with the outcome. I said, don't tell me. I know exactly where the aneurysm was. I said, where? It was right here. How did you know that? Because the Spirit of God, because I gave myself to praying in the Spirit for him, prayed through me exactly according to the knowledge of God concerning the situation. Do you want to be used by God? You can be used by God without even talking to anybody, but just making yourself available to pray for somebody in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will direct you in English, but I believe He also will direct you in the Spirit. Paul said this, and when he was in 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Corinthians 14 is all about Acts, things that were going on in the church that were out of order. Because the Corinthian church, man, they were a spiritual bunch. They'd get in church evidently, and they'd all start speaking in tongues to one another. And it was just confusion. And if non-believers came in there, right? What's going on here? It wasn't in order. And so he said in order, but he said this. He said, look at man. He said, I pray with my spirit and I sing with my spirit. I pray with my understanding and I sing with my understanding. And then he went on to say, I pray in the spirit more than y'all. That's quite a statement. I spend more time praying in the spirit than you do. I know that. So it's not that I'm saying don't pray in the spirit, but just do it in an orderly fashion. Does that make sense? So we want to be people, if we're filled with the Spirit of God, get back to spending some time every day praying in the Spirit. Say, well, you know, I just don't have the time. No, you just don't make the time. You have the time, you just don't make it. How long is it going to take you to get home in the car? 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes? There's 15, 20 minutes you could pray in the Spirit. Right? So you don't have to wait till you're on your knees in your prayer closet. That's a good place to be. But you can do it anytime, anywhere, all the time. One story and then I close. I was determined after I got saved and to be, the Bible says pray without ceasing. So I was determined that day, this was many years ago, and I was working in the shipyard. But I said, I'm going to pray all day in the Spirit. Now when I say that, I'm working with people right next to me. I'm going to pray in the Spirit all day. Well, that's going to be a little bit different. That's going to be a little bit weird. But I'm praying in the Spirit. In such a way that they can't hear me, but yet all day I'm actively praying in the Spirit. So we can do it much more than we think we can, but I think it's expedient for us at the time that we're living in to do it so that when we're with somebody else, we can have an expectation that the Spirit of God is going to use us in that manner. Amen? Amen. Y'all get something? Well, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your move of your Spirit tonight. We thank you, God, that you're operating through us and with us. And Lord, I thank you that every person that's here has the ability, because you've baptized them in the Holy Spirit. Or if they haven't been, they can be by faith, just receiving what you've given to them as a gift. And Lord, I just thank you that we are not going to be slothful in the things that you've given to us. So right now we just dedicate ourselves to your will. Use us today, Father. Use us tomorrow for the kingdom of God to be advanced, for people to come to know you in a supernatural way. Father, forgive us for not expecting you to use us. But tonight that changes. Tonight it's different. So Father, we yield ourselves to your Spirit. Use us. Any way that you see fit, we're available. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. You can't be filled with the Spirit unless your heart is in a place where God can come live. And the only way that God can come live in you is if you're born again. If you've given Jesus Christ your life and he's become the Lord of your life. So if you haven't done that, if you haven't prayed that prayer, just pray the simple prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, I come to you just as I am, with all my failures, all my sin, and I just ask you to become Lord of my life. I give you my life. I'm yielding myself to you. Come, fill me with your Spirit, and he'll do it. God bless you. Go with God. Be with God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.